housekeeping here. I'm here to talk about TESOL Spain 2023. Are you going to be there? Are you? Guess who else is going to be there? Guess who's speaking? It's me. It's me. Did you guess? Can you tell I'm excited? I'm going to be speaking on Friday the 10th of March at 6:30 in the evening. I'm going to be talking about lexicalizing your grammar, but I'm not just going to be talking at you for 45 minutes. I'm going to give you a bit of blurb at the beginning, and then we're going to create a lesson plan together. So if you want to know an interesting way on how to review and give your students real life language and also produce a lovely, interactive, interesting lesson at the same time, come to my session and I'll show you how. Will I see you there? Welcome to Everything EFL. My name's Erin O'Byrne, and I firmly believe that you as a teacher are special, amazing, creative, and passionate. But it's very easy to get burnt out and overwhelmed. With my podcast and my teacher training, I aim to help you avoid burnout and cut down on your prep time so you can unleash your creativity and enjoy your work more mindfully. Are you ready? Let's go! Hello, you gorgeous teacher. If you're one of my lovely regular listeners, welcome back. If you're a new listener, you are most welcome. I hope you stick around. Before I introduce my guest, I just have one thing to say. ChatGPT. It is everywhere. It's on LinkedIn. There are articles, there are comments, there are opinions, there are experiments. Everybody has an opinion. And what I'm here to talk about today is, what's all the fuss about? And I'm here to talk about this, my lovely guest, Gina Rodriguez. Hi, Gina.
Hi, Erin. Thanks for having me here today.
Absolute pleasure.
to talk about ChatGPT, you know, yes. New best friend or enemy, I don't know.
And I'm really happy to talk to you because I think we've been on each other's radar for a while. And now we definitely have something interesting to talk about. So before we dive in, can you just introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. So my name is Gina Rodriguez and I am an ELT marketing consultant. I started my career in ELT as a teacher. I worked for many years as a teacher and then as a consultant, educational consultant. Now I work helping language schools learn about social media marketing and marketing strategies and also help them create their own strategies. So that's basically what I do. And also as a consultant, educational consultant, I help innovate courses with the latest education trends.
Speaking of which, so just in case you've been hiding under a rock for the last 6 months, I'm going to ask you just to explain what ChatGPT is.
Right. Okay, so it's a tool. It's a new tool, and it's a chatbot. Okay, so which is part of AI, so artificial intelligence. This one is special because it has been trained to respond to human questions in a human manner. And basically what it does, it responds to your questions and it does everything lots of things that you ask it. And it does so by gathering information from the internet. And yeah, that's basically what it is in very simple words.
Okay. And I suppose the big question is, how does it benefit teachers?
Interesting one. Okay. So first of all, I think it can benefit in many ways as long as you prompt it correctly. Okay, so what happens is that you can ask ChatGPT to do tasks for you, but the quality of the answer is very much connected to the quality of the prompt. So this is the most important thing for teachers to remember. So they have to be super accurate when they ask. And, you know, when teachers use ChatGPT, they can ask it to, for example, write lesson plans, right? So you can tell it, you know, write a lesson plan for a class of 8-year-olds about the reason there are including TPR, for example, and it will do it, okay? Actually, I've noticed he really likes TPR. Even when you
Yeah.
don't do, even when you don't say TPR, and you say if you mention children, it normally, gives you TPR activities and flashcards and that kind of thing. But of course, once you get that, it tends to be very simple. So you have to have a look and see how close it is to what you want, and then refine your request and prompt it again, and you can tell it, please add these, remove that, make it longer, shorter, add more examples. So, and it will keep giving you answers and examples or lists. For example, you can ask it like list, I don't know, 20 words about the weather, for example, and it will do that. Or write a dialogue and you give the setting. And you can tell it, like, write a dialogue that is 250 characters for B1 level in a shop, and it will do it. So it can help you. I think when you are short of ideas, lacking inspiration, you can ask it to help you, or to
Yeah.
give you feedback, for example, as well. It can imagine that you have, as it normally happens, you're correcting homework, and especially when you have. If you have to correct writing for examination, for example, for a certificate or whatever, and if you have a doubt, if you're not quite sure, if you want to suggest a different answer, you can type or copy and paste and ask it to give you feedback and say what you're looking for, and it will do
Ooh.
it for you.
So quite a lot of things there. It
Yeah.
could be a time saver. So that can be very beneficial for teachers, I think. I'm all about saving prep time.
It will save you time once at the beginning. I don't think it's going to save you time. It's going to be time consuming because you need to learn how to work with it and refine it, and you need to get into that way of thinking. So I would say for those teachers that will be trying it, I would say be patient and allow some time to understand how it works and refine the way you prompt it.
But I
Is
would
that
say, like, that's the same for anything new you try, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even if you're trying the lexical approach for the first time, it's gotta
Yeah,
take a bit of time.
that's a tricky one.
Yeah, it certainly is. I'm wondering, like, when you gave that example about, 20 weather words, I'm wondering if it can do colloquialisms, like five words for weather that Irish people use colloquially or something like that. I'm gonna have to research that, because that would be very interesting. That would be very
Yeah.
interesting.
I've got an Instagram friend in Australia. She tried something similar, and she said that it gave it funny answers. And she asked it to say there were expressions about, yeah, colloquial expressions at work. That was it, in Australian style. And she said that, what she got wasn't great, but it's worth trying. I think we need to test it. That's what teachers need to do. Everyone, not just teachers, every single person on this planet needs to try it and experiment with it, because it's here. It's here to stay.
I really like the fact that you can refine as well. Like, 'cause I played around with it a couple of weeks ago, and you don't, like you say, you don't always get what you've got in your mind the first time around, but at least you can go back and go, okay, can you change this or add this or take this out? So that's a really, really useful tool as well. So what about students? How can it benefit students?
If they learn how to collaborate with it, it could be like an assistant, like a in some aspects it could be like a tutor, but only if they learn how to use it. Because if students use ChatGPT, for example, let's imagine they have to summarize a text and they ask ChatGPT to do it for them, that means that they are not doing the job. So it will prevent them from learning, right? Because ChatGPT will be doing it for them. So in this situation, what the right thing to do is, like, they write the summary and they could ask ChatGPT to check, for example, if it's got a structure, if it is well structured, if it can be improved in any way, to check the tone, things like that. But as I said, it needs to they need to be trained. The students need to know that they have to use it as a tool and not to get the tool to do their their homework, for
Yeah,
example.
I think that's a really important point, and I think that's definitely worth talking about with students, like, and actually maybe going through some questions they could ask ChatGPT and stuff like that.
When I heard about ChatGPT, I was fascinated and terrified
Yeah.
at the same time. And I've been looking at it from an educational point of view and from a marketing point of view, and thinking about my kids when they grow up and young generations, right? And I think it's an amazing tool with great potential, but it's very much like a knife. And you don't give a knife to a child until
Yeah.
that child knows how to use the knife.
Do you think like the students who might potentially use ChatGPT to do their work for them, do you think they would be the same students who would probably plagiarize or just generally be lazy anyway? I don't think, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like, I think
that's
it
a good
takes a
point.
certain kind of student to do that, and certain students won't. But I do think it's worth having that chat in class with them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the sooner we pass on this digital literacy, the better. So I think, if they learn how to collaborate with it, it's for the benefit of society and the benefit of the workforce. Because also, it could be quite tempting to. Because to believe what it gives you, right? Because it always writes really, really well. It has amazing copywriting skills. So if you don't know about the topic, if you're not kind of very much into the topic you're discussing with it, let's put it that way, if you don't know, you might think that that is the answer or that is. So you see, the risk here is that students just take what they get without exploring more, and that can happen if they don't have critical thinking skills developed.
Yeah, if they're like maybe stuck on topic ideas, they could maybe ask it to produce just bullet point key phrases to get
Absolutely.
them going
Yes. Yeah.
or something like that. But I do think that when if they're using it to sort of check their essay and ask, check the structure, that is very, I think that's really autonomous. Could be very autonomous.
Yes, is that that's it's a way to self-regulate, it's
Yeah.
part of the learner's autonomy. So it's fantastic because the work is done, and you can ask it to check this and that because you know what you need. If you don't know that, then you cannot ask anything. You're just going to take the answer and say, okay, fine. So you see, you still need your critical thinking skills. You still need knowledge about the topic in question. Otherwise, you're not going to get too far.
No, I was chatting with my friend on Sunday about ChatGPT, and she said that one of her colleagues' students wrote something and the teacher suspected it wasn't their work. So she copied and pasted the work into ChatGPT and asked it, "Did you write this?" And it said yes. So there is a way of teachers checking.
I know I haven't tried that, but I know I've heard about that as well.
Okay, so let's sort of ping pong some examples of prompts and things that we've tried. Do you want to go first?
I tell you what I tried. And for example, I did some things that were a bit nasty for ChatGPT. For example, I said, who won the Eltons for digital innovation in 2022? And the answer was, I don't know. She didn't know, because all the data that it works with, it's data collected until 2021.
The topic of the week was art this week. So I asked it some facts or kind of factoids. I asked it what were the five most popular or well-known modern works of art. And they had a brief description, so that was good because it's not my like thing at all. And then I asked it something like, can you write a short text for C1 English students about how to interpret modern art? And it was actually quite good. It gave me sort of four or five nice sort of brief paragraphs about what to consider and things like that. So that started off a lesson where they highlighted the key phrases from there, and I printed those five works of art and I put them
All
around the
right.
room, and they used the information to talk about it and try and interpret
Wow.
it. And then they lifted up the work of art and saw like when it was painted, who painted it or made it, and just a very brief description of the meaning behind it. So that was good. That was fun. So it gave me information that I didn't know, which was great.
Did you check that information?
No. But
Okay.
I think, the most popular works of art would be a very subjective question anyway. I just needed five works of art.
Yeah,
So
but that's the thing. You don't know. Yeah, you never know with it where it's taking the information from. We know it's out from the internet, but we don't know the source.
I'd say somewhere Western, because it was all sort of like Andy
Yeah.
Warhol and
Yeah, but
Picasso
like the
and
source, right? It's one thing that, for
yeah.
example, if you go to Google and you find you type the same question, you will find, for example, websites from museums, maybe from the Tate Gallery. So you know that that is a reliable source. Whereas if you find like a random website, you know that that's not going to be that reliable. So that's the risk with ChatGPT for lots of topics.
Yeah,
Like,
maybe in a different context, definitely. That's
yeah,
something that I didn't
exactly.
really consider. Yeah, interesting. I also did, I asked it to create a 250-word text about the Banksy shredding incident, using some idioms and complex sentences and generate questions as well. So it did that. That was great, just to give some background. And then we watched the video and we kind of discussed it and stuff. So that was good. Anything else for you?
Questions that I asked. Yeah, I did like I did. I thought, like, for example, for a teacher that needs to create a fill in the gaps. Okay. So I did create a fill in the gap with sentences about using irregular verbs about last weekend, something like that. Something very simple. I was inspired with my son's lesson. And it did. And it, you know, it was nice, interesting, that work. But it tends to be sometimes too robotic.
Yes, I noticed that. I asked it to create a couple of dialogues for me. One was kind of in an art gallery, including some various phrases, but it was a little bit stilted, definitely. It wasn't quite natural. I had to change a few things. And concerning instructions, I asked it to create a dialogue, and I asked it in a number of different ways to try and be specific. Please include phrases with going to for future plans and present continuous for future plans and things like that, but it didn't quite get it right. I it's kind of rewrote the instructions in a few different ways, and it just didn't quite do what I wanted it to do. So maybe it just doesn't have a great concept of present continuous for future plans. I don't know, but I had a bit of trouble with that one. I ended up not using it. How do you think students, this is just an extra question here, like, is there any way students could use it in class somehow?
So ChatGPT, which belongs to OpenAI, also OpenAI has part of it produces pictures from text. And this is the interesting bit, okay? So if you type, you know, you tell it what kind of picture you want, you type it and you will get the picture. So you can create surreal photos, and you can tell in which style and the type of lightning and all sort of things. And this is fun. I thought, you know, students could in class type, you know, think about, or maybe look at an image, type to prompt and see what it comes out. And, you know, because it's fun, because I mean, with that part, it's not there yet. Usually if you, for example, if you ask, for example, a man, let's imagine a man sitting in a living room with his feet up, reading a newspaper, for example, with the sunlight from behind, whatever. So the faces tend to be distorted most of the time.
What? This isn't ChatGPT, though, is it?
It's part of the chat. So ChatGPT, it's an AI
Yeah.
that you can just do, created by OpenAI. So OpenAI has for text, so to respond to our questions and do what we ask, but also produce images and videos.
Okay, but not
So, but the videos,
specifically on ChatGPT, though. I just want to make that clear.
yeah, it's the same platform though. If
Yeah.
you go to OpenAI, you have the ChatGPT, and I think it's called DALL-E, or Crayon. I think they have changed the name like
Right,
quite
okay.
recently.
Right, gotcha. So it's on the same sort of homepage kind of thing.
Exactly,
All right, gotcha. Okay,
yeah.
brilliant. So, like, when you said earlier about searching for a lesson plan, how does that differ from just searching for a specific lesson plan online? Like, if you just go to Google, you know, C1 lesson plan discussion
Interesting.
about sports or something.
The main difference that in that case you would have, you know, when you type that, Google will give you different solutions, like, or websites where you will find the lesson. You can, for example, then click on images, just to search by image, for example, which is quicker if you want to see the lesson plan, the photocopy that you want to download, whatever. But you have to go in and check every time. You go here and check, and then go there and check, and then go there and check. Whereas with the ChatGPT, if you ask it to write it for you, to type it, that's it. Okay, so it's, in a way, it's faster. Vary with other, or well, I mean, it's faster. Then you have to refine it. But the difference is that whereas on Google you would have to go here and there and check and then go back, download, see, and then
Spend a long time trying to find something. Yeah. I think the only disadvantage there, though, is that, like, obviously ChatGPT can't give you like the flashcards or
No.
whatever with it. You have to try and find those.
Well, and if you use Crayon,
Yeah.
you great, but it's not ideal. I mean, it can work. No, ChatGPT can create tables. I saw that recently, in a webinar with Tilt. That I didn't know. I found out this week.
What kind
So,
of table? Can you give an
like
example?
a Word table, you know, when you know in Word that you say, you know, create a table, like, for example, features and benefits or
Okay.
positives and negatives, and it does a little table.
Oh, that's
Yeah.
good. That's nice. That's really good. Because you could sort of get a thought process in class started with a table with a few ideas, and then students can maybe add their own, you know, in the table or something like that. I don't know. I mean, the possibilities are endless. What do you think? I think we've talked about this a little bit already, but like in your opinion, what are the biggest dangers or downsides that you can see?
I think okay, so I think the biggest challenge is the education system that we have at the moment. Okay, so this has COVID accelerated all this digital transformation, right? You know, we had to overnight adapt to online lessons, da, 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 da. We all know that. And now there's been another we've been pushed like several years in the future. With ChatGPT. Now, an education is not there yet, you know, because we talk about the four C's, creativity, collaboration, blah, blah, blah. And this has been going on for a long time, and lots of materials include that, but still not kind of really embedded into the system. With the introduction of AI, everything that can be automated, will be automated, for example. And so that's one thing. So you need to learn how to use it. And as we discussed earlier, you know, nowadays more than ever, having you know, being creative, thinking, using your critical thinking skills is super important to be able to collaborate with these tools, because you can only get out of, you know, of them what you put in. And if you understand the topic you're working on, otherwise it's not gonna get a good you're not gonna get a good result. So that is a challenge. So, you know, training students to compare, to find, to read between the lines, to find shades of different words and meaning, you know, that kind of thing. So that's the biggest challenge, in my opinion. So, generally speaking, not I'm not referring to the ELT world exclusively. It's like education in a general way. And also, for example, something that happens a lot with everyone is that, you know, as it happens with the internet, people tend to believe what they see. Like, oh yeah, I'll tell you what happened. I tell you this anecdote that happened with when in one of my science class. They needed, it was the English class, the language class, and in the parents group on WhatsApp, someone said, oh, here is the link to, I think it was the video for the course, something like that. And I looked at it, and the link looked really random. Now, as I had this publishing background, I know that the material that corresponds to a book that is digital, it has at least the name of. So I kind of recognize the type of links. I mean, it's not going to have like XZ, www. I was like, it's a funny link. So I clicked on it, and it was one of those piracy websites where they put all the materials in the world there, you download for free. And obviously, so you don't, with that, you download viruses and everything you can think of. So I said to her, look, it's piracy and it's not the true website. And she said, oh, but I found it on Google. I'm like, and so what? What does it mean? It's not that everything that you will find on the internet is true and it's accurate. And that's why I say that understanding the source of the
Yeah.
content to something to consider, definitely.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think we could talk about this for hours, but what I would say to teachers listening is just experiment with it. Like, put some prompts in, see what you want to find out. See what it can create for you to make your life easier. Refine your searches and your questions and just see what comes out. And you can, if it's not quite right as well, you can just copy and paste the text or whatever into a Word document and make your own little changes. But yeah, just experiment with it while it's still free.
Good point. Because at the moment it already has now a paid version, because you cannot always get into it. So
Yes.
until very recently was there were peak times, and now they introduced this paid access. So if you have the paid access, then you can go in at any time. If not, you have to wait until you can get in. So that's another drama.
Yeah. Do you think that the whole thing will be paid at some point? There'll be a paywall?
I
Yeah, see,
think
that might
so.
make a lot of difference. A lot of people love free content, but they don't like paying for anything. So that might drastically reduce the use of it.
Yes and no. I mean, so at the moment, there's a reason why it's free, because it's got its limitations. It's the beta version. And when you basically, what they are doing with this free access is testing it, because you can also give feedback. For example, I said, I asked it to write a social media post copy for a language school promoting their adult courses in the evening, blah, 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 blah. And then in Italian, because obviously it also does things in different languages. And I couldn't believe my eyes that it just fell into the trap of saying, the usual things as unique selling points, like small group, blah, blah, insegnante madrelingua. I was like, no way. It's like it is biased too, because that's the other thing. And so I sent the feedback and I said, this is not a good unique selling point, because it's fostering a concept that we are trying to move away
Oh,
from.
non-native speakers. Oh, I see. But then again, if it's drawing from content that's already out there, unfortunately, a lot of schools
There you
still
go.
advertise that. Interesting. Okay.
But I gave feedback, so you can give feedback and say, this is good,
Okay.
this is not good, and why it's good or not good. So they are
Okay.
collecting all that data.
Mm.
So the next version obviously will be a lot better.
Yes.
But this also shows you the problem of the source, because it collects it from everywhere.
Yeah.
You don't quite know. That's why I was saying you cannot even trust it too much, because it's not a human, it's a machine giving you, information based on what it has gathered. But without that, even if it has been trained, it's not like a human. That's why you need to check the source.
Yeah, and I think that is an important point, though. It is missing a big human element. So I don't think
Context as
there's,
well.
yeah, context. There's no, I don't think there's any worry it's going to replace anyone
No.
at any point for anything, because it's not human. Okay, Gina, where can people find you if they would like to connect with
Great.
you?
In Treviso, in Italy. Now online. So I've got a website with a blog where I write about education trends and social media marketing for ELT. And that is GR, my initials, grschoolmarketing.com. And I'm also on Instagram. My handle is Gina underscore ELT consultant, and the same on LinkedIn, Gina ELT.
Brilliant. Okay. And I just want to thank you for your time, because this has been quite interesting and enlightening as well. You've mentioned a few things that I hadn't really considered. So I think it's all very useful information. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Erin, and congratulations on the podcast.
Thank you very much. That's it, guys. If you would like to repay me for this lovely free content in some small way, talk me up to your colleagues, share any of my stories or my posts on social media. You can email me, my email's in the show notes. I can send you a poster for your staff room. But most of all, guys, just share, 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 share the love, share the love. Goodbye.